Today is September 2nd, 2021, and it's 9 a.m. The Durham City County Board of Commissioners meeting and the county administrative workshop annex, I guess you call it. We're all out. Commissioner Fowler's in his car. We're all over the place. This is a comfort zone today. This is for just our county administrative workshop. So we're going to kind of jumble up a little bit. I hope it doesn't mess anybody up, but Commissioner Fowler has a commitment in about 10 minutes. So he's up for a segment of item two, finance report and business update. And 2A is a guidance request for the COVID-19 relief funds task force. And Darren, if you and Sandy go ahead and take the ball on this one, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd let Sandy go first.
Okay.
Okay, very briefly, I am going to give a quick reminder of the guidance. Can you see the PowerPoint presentation? It's not going. So very briefly, do you see to respond to the public health emergency?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So very briefly, the four elements of eligibility for the American Rescue Plan Act is to respond to the public health emergency respect to COVID-19 and its negative economic impacts. This is where most of the task force applications are leaning towards. And then we have the to respond to workers performing essential work during the public health emergency by providing premium pay to eligible workers of the local government. And then there's also a provision for eligible workers who perform essential work for other entities. And then as a quick reminder, we also have lost revenue, which we don't have any, and then some infrastructure and investment, water, sewer, and broadband. We came on June 15th to ask the board what direction that you all were leaning, and the priorities that we brought back to the task force was pick projects that will have the largest long-term tangible impacts for our community. So we have gotten a couple of applications, one for the government and one for a nonprofit, that are in this essential worker category that are responding to and taking care of essential workers that weren't under the guidance under CARES, that they didn't qualify under there, but they very much qualify under the ARPA rules. So that's what we were wanting to know, to get a little updated guidance. Do you still want us looking for the longest long-term tangible impacts, or how do you feel about essential workers? Some of the concern is that might open up Pandora's box, and then we'll get a whole lot of essential worker applications. What are your thoughts?
Commissioners? Mr. Bitter.
Well, the problem with essential workers is, what is that definition? You start dividing people. This individual is essential, this individual is not, and I don't know if I think we want to go down that pathway of determining who is essential and who is not.
The guidance does kind of outline what it is. Like, CARES had one definition. ARPA has a little bit different definition, but we do have some guidance.
Yeah, even those definitions are there, how about people out on the street? So even if we go by those definitions, then somebody will say, well, how come I don't fall under that definition? And somebody will say, how come I don't fall under that definition? So I'd be real careful about dividing people, who's more important than others. I think that's a slippery slope.
Fowler, comments?
Well, the original CARES Act, we did do some hazardous worker pay for our transit drivers. I think the sheriff got some as well for for his deputies, and there was probably some others. And so we kind of figured heading into this Rescue Plan Act that we kind of already paid the essential workers. Now it seems that the custodial staff for our buildings was missed in that first round and is kind of identified in essential worker as far as having to be vaccinated this time around for the state. And so maybe we did miss that one group. They do have an application in that didn't score very well with the task force. And so that's why we're coming to the commission to say, hey, do you want to scoop up this one class of government workers for a retrofit? And for me, not really choosing outside nonprofits or businesses or other employees out there in the world to include in this. So for me, it's kind of just the county maintenance staff is the question in front of the commissioners. So we're hoping for some input from you too.
But here's, but I was the one that kind of, I guess, I didn't spearhead it, but I sure brought it to the surface. I think we missed them in the first go around. We required, hey, this is an essential worker, this is an essential worker. Well, after hours, who comes and cleans all the surfaces? Who cleans the restrooms that everybody's used all day long? Front line, you know, they probably had more exposure to COVID than anybody else, and we just missed them. And that's the thing. I don't know, Kim, is CARES Act money available for them on a go back to the CARES Act and not use ARPA funds for that particular thing? Because they should have fallen under CARES?
CARES is already, that grant's already closed and completely done. Yeah. And it's only about $32,000 if we just do the county government application. You're looking at about $32,000 total.
And so this is what I'm saying, that, you know, I'll put it this way. I'm going to put myself in Carl's shoes. And Carl's kind of feels that Carl should have been involved in this all along, because they're there every night, got the mask on, got the gloves on, you know, putting their hands in the water, you name it, cleaning up and sanitizing these buildings for the county every night, so that we can come to, so that all the other employees can come to work with a reasonable expectation that the place has been cleaned. And yet we left them out of it. And if it's 32,000 or 52,000 or 60,000, out of $18 million, if we don't care any more about our custodial staff than that, then I'm working for the wrong organization. I'm serious about that.
Using the criteria that the commissioners gave the task force, it did not score very well. And so that's why we're here today, because the commissioner, you brought up concerns. And so this sounds like if there's two commissioners that agree, we want to move this forward into the recommendation phase and have it come with the group of recommended projects or applications to the commissioners. And so kind of overriding the committee, but that's the way this works. And so I agree we could move this forward to the commissioners for a decision. We're not really asking for a decision today. We're just asking for the ability to forward.
This is an update. Ryan, I see your hand, but I want to say one thing too before I go to you. Is there opportunity here before we even get started on this thing? It says, okay, we're going to take all $9 million a year and we're going to turn it over to this task force, and it's only by application only. Is there an opportunity here or a chance that the Board of County Commissioners can carve out $750,000 or $1 million for their projects as long as they qualify? Instead of going, can we say, okay, task force, here's $8 million, but there's $1 million sitting in an account for the Board of County Commissioners to do stuff more local and closer to their heart. The commissioners don't have to use it, but it gives them some discretion rather than saying, well, you know, the task force said they weren't interested, so therefore. But I know they're just an advisory, and they're going to tell us, and we say, no, we find it a little stronger than that. I appreciate your input on it, but we're going to find a way to get this done if we agree on that. Ryan, you had your hand up.
I just wanted to say that one piece that might be a little different than the average public as far as custodial and maintenance staff is during this COVID period, when there was outbreaks, say at the jail, this was staff that was going in on a daily basis, spraying areas that were occupied by COVID positive people. So this is direct contact, not just Joe Public cleaning a regular bathroom. This was a known cleaning. They were doing areas that we knew were probably infected. They do stuff that the normal public doesn't do. So that would be the difference in my mind as far as essential workers. They're cleaning up, you know, for the sheriff's department and transit and not just your normal everyday cleaning. So to me, it makes a difference.
Well, I think the normal everyday cleaning is going to expose them to far more than the guy walking in the building for an hour and walking back out. And, you know, they set up all the, you know, where we set up everything for all the employees, and then we give the custodians rubber gloves and a face mask. And, you know, they're the ones that are really coming in contact with stuff. They don't even know if it's even there. But, you know, that's their job to make it clean and sanitize. And I just thought they were overlooked. And I don't like overlooking, you know, it doesn't mean it's carte blanche and let's walk out on the street with a bullhorn and say, if you think you were exposed, come and see the county and we're going to give you a pile of money. We're not the federal government. We don't print money. But we have jurisdiction over this money. And I'd say that's why I put in for it, because I thought we gravely made a grave mistake in the CARES Act when we were taking care of everybody in, almost everybody in the organization, you know, and including, you know, checkers at Walmart. And we skipped over our own people. And I just didn't care for that. That's why I put in for it. We'll see. Commissioner Fowler, I appreciate your watchful eye on this thing. You know, you've got your hand on the pulse and keep us updated. But that's my, you know, I want to keep them in the loop and get that custodial staff something that I think they well deserve.
Yep.
So county only?
Say that again?
That's what I want to suggest is that we move it into the, put in front of the commissioner's pile, this request for those workers, and we will consider it at a future meeting so that we have all the information in front of us and people can make, or the commissioners can make that decision at that point.
Okay, thank you. Is that meant, so with you, Herman?
Fine.
Fine.
Well,
that's all right. Okay, Sandy, do you have anything else in your report?
Yeah, I have two other things, and one while we have Commissioner Fowler, if we still have him. Southern Oregon Air Academy was a tenant of the airports and had an agreement with Rivers Edge Academy Charter School. Reach used their education status to gain internet through Hunter Communication. The cost was a little over $37,000. The grant, there was an education grant that paid for all but about up to $7,000 of it, which Reach paid. When SOA left, Reach had made the investment but didn't get the benefit from it. And I'm wondering if you would be, were still able to keep it because the space is going to be moving forward to Three Rivers School District, so the education grant on the installation is still valid. But would you consider reimbursing Reach their out-of-pocket money?
Measures?
Yeah. And I would add that this is infrastructure brought to one of our buildings that the company that paid for it is not going to benefit. And so it makes sense to me to pay for this because we're going to get some rent from the school district over the next few years minimum. And so I hate to leave that company that invested this money hanging for that amount when they're never going to use it, and we are going to use it for our next customer. So it made sense to me to make this request to the commissioners. So what say you?
Herman?
No comment.
This falls under one of those through no fault of my own. I mean, truly it does. It's not like they're put something in there that we're never going to use, you know, like a frog pond or something, but they really did put something in that we're going to use in the future. So my deal is paid for.
Yep, and that's me also. So I'd like to move it forward as a formal request and get it approved.
I think Herman's on board with it also.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And then one other quick thing. During one of the benefits for non-union employees is we have something called a PTO sellback. The requirements of it is you need to have used 3 weeks of your PTO time and still have a balance of at least 150 hours of PTO left in your bank. And if you do this, you are able to sell back some of your PTO. The thing is some of our non-union employees have been so incredibly busy that reaching that take 3 weeks off has been a very difficult benchmark to hit. How do you all feel about suspending that requirement when we go out this year? Nobody has requested it at this point. We're just preparing for the annual PTO sellback and anticipating some folks saying.
Is there a cap? Is there a cap on how many hours they can have?
Oh yes, there is.
And so you're talking about somebody, say it's 150, right? So they've got 190 hours, they want to sell back 40, right? And when did the cap of 150 come in?
150 is the minimum. You need to maintain a minimum of 150.
I heard during this whole thing is, you know, you got to take your PTO. Oh, some of us don't have any PTO at all. Now you're telling me there's a minimum of 150 hours?
Yeah, so folks that are regularly using their PTO and maintaining a low balance aren't eligible for it unless they have at least 150 hours in there.
So in the middle of winter time when it snows, and I don't declare a snow day, means that you don't get paid time off because of an emergency, and you can't make it in because you live in Selma and you've got 2.5 feet of snow in your front yard, and the person tells me, well, I don't have any PTO that I can take. And you're telling me now that if there's mandatory 150 hours of PTO that's in your bank at all times, minimum?
That minimum is to make sure that if there is a situation like that.
Correct. That minimum is there for those emergencies in case you do have that emergency. You know, God help you, your mother-in-law dies, you have to take care of your dad or whatever. That you've got that 150 hours in your bank that you can use. And I was told, oh, there are people that don't have any hours in their PTO bank because they keep it wound down to nothing. Mm-hmm. But that isn't true, right?
There are some people that maintain a very low balance, and there are some people who have over 1,200 hours in there.
The military does leave. The military used to let you stack leave up 30 days a year, and you could stack up leave. If you've been in 10 years, you would have 300 days leave, which meant you had almost a whole year off. And they said, absolutely not. And they stopped it, I believe, at 45 days or 30 days, 30 days, before, that's all you could sell back.
Right.
And you could sell back when you got off of active duty, you could do that.
Right.
Mr. Brandis, I see you got your peace sign up there.
Right. I think where you guys are talking the same point. So the distinction is you have to have 150 hours in your bank to sell back. I think it's specifically to avoid what you're talking about, Commissioner. So if someone had 41 hours in their bank, they turn around and sell 40, we don't want them coming to you to say, I only have an hour, what do I do? You have to have that minimum threshold to sell back. You also have to take a minimum number of hours during the year, the presumption being we don't want folks burned out who take no vacation at all and then sell some back.
Right, okay, I get that. That little piece of information straightens out an awful lot in my mind.
Yeah.
So that was, some of those burned out people are going to be not eligible to sell back because they have not been able to take some time off.
Can we, under an emergency, because the COVID thing was declared an emergency, is there a way we can do that just under the emergency that it's not just, you know, perpetual?
Yes, yes, it would just be a this year's suspension.
Commissioners.
I would agree to this, just this budget year. I like that idea.
Okay.
I'm agreeable to that.
You got some head nodding there, Sandy, so, you know, see what that looks like, all righty?
Okay.
Like to know how many employees that encases, and is it rampant throughout the thing, or what if they all marched in and wanted to sell their PTO, what's that gonna mean?
Yeah,
is that something we need to send to ARPA? It's that big?
No, it's not. It's just right. Taking good care of people who are working really hard right now.
Okay. Anything
and
else?
That is all I have for you, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's good to see you. Aaron, you're off and running?
No, I've still got about 10 minutes. I wasn't sure how long it was going to go.
Well, then we're gonna zip right up to item back for our schedule. Item 1A is facilities. Ryan Johnson, facility service director, is 1A11, or whatever you call it, is seismic rehabilitation grant program grant contract. So, hi, Ryan.
Hi. We applied for a grant to upgrade the dispatch area, the sheriff's dispatch area. They're no longer going to combine with city 911. So basically we want to bring that area up to standard, so in a seismic event it's still standing. So working with some engineers, we submitted for the grant. We received the grant of $897,000. Now we need to sign the contract to actually accept the funds. And then as we move forward, there'll probably be some other paperwork that will require a signature. The grant isn't a money matching grant. It's a straight award. And then as we go through, they reimburse us, is my understanding. So either the board signs it, or the chair, or it can be delegated to department head.
Well, I think that kind of money, I think the board needs to put the signatures on it, personally. At that kind of money, so we're all in the loop. That says we're all in the loop on it. You had your hand up, Chris Fowler?
Yeah, just what building are we talking about? Are we in the basement of the Justice Building? Are we in the Sheriff's Office?
This is actually, if you look in the back parking lot, the lower section of the Justice Building. So they're looking at that back section of the Justice Building as a separate building. So we're actually going to cut an expansion joint between the two buildings, go down in the Justice Building basement, put some ports. Basically, that little section is going to be treated as a separate building for grant purposes, because that's where they reside.
And I appreciate that. As a follow-up, this is the first time I've heard anything about the dispatch idea of being in one place in our county not going through. So
yeah,
when did that happen, and why did that happen?
My question exactly, because it looked like that was on a pretty good track. I want to know who backed out. Did the city say they were not interested in partnering with the county, or was it the other way around?
You know, I'm not sure. That would probably be a conversation with the sheriff. I was just told that it wasn't going to happen.
Okay, I'll see if we can get a report from the sheriff. That'll look for a later meeting. Have him. Wendy, write that down, if you would, please. And we'll put it down. We'd like an explanation of that. Anything else, Ryan?
Do we still want to accept the funds for this and make that section seismic?
I think so.
Your recommendation, Ryan? Is that your recommendation?
I think we should. I think the building is, you know, built in 1975. I think it couldn't hurt to beef up that section for whatever we use going forward. And it'll also provide some other options for egress for whoever we put in the basement. I think as part of it, we'd have to add an exit on the basement level or lower level.
So it could be a benefit for adjacent spaces of the building as well as that section.
Okay.
So you're talking about the old jail part?
Well, it's actually the old detectives area. But
oh,
it can,
okay.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah, it can be accessed from the old jail. There is a door going through there. So it'll benefit everybody in the lower level. But it'll just be that section of the building that gets upgraded.
Off topic, just for knowledge, what year was the original courthouse built?
The courthouse was built in 1916, and just
yeah.
built in 1975.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Then when, there was two additions onto the original courthouse, which our offices are in one of those. When were those put on?
It was actually done in two phases. They did the lower section, I believe, in 64, and then they came back and did the second story, north and south wings, in the 70s, about the same time as the Justice Building.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So if we get a fake alert that says we're about ready to have an earthquake, are we all supposed to run down to dispatch or leave the building? Because it sounds like our only place in the two buildings that is going to be seismic retrofit.
Well, I have a vault in my office, Darren, so. You got to remember, your guys' office is in a new part.
Make sure you keep one of those big Costco peanut butter jars in there and a sleeve of crackers. Yeah, something to eat.
Yeah, just for the record, those vaults actually have extra columns underneath them, so that's probably not a bad idea.
Well, you know, and it's strictly speculation. You never know. You can plan and then have a Pompeii on your hands. So, you know, we try, you know, we've got engineers and what's going to last and what isn't going to last. And, you know, that house of toothpicks falls over at the end of the day anyway. So, okay, well, let's go ahead with that. Get us some paperwork. I think all three of us should sign it. It's of that magnitude, okay?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Anything else? We're going to move this to the weekly business session.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to item 1B, Public Works. Rob Brand is our Public Works Director. This is ODOT Master Grant Agreement number 34770 for Fund Exchange Program for STBG Highway Funds. Let's see, I'm trying to figure what STBG could possibly mean.
State Transportation Block Grants.
What is it?
State Transportation Block Grants.
Okay, State Transportation Block Grant, got it.
They just recategorize them. So this exchange will take the place of the annual agreement that you all see before, where the federal government allocates money to all the local agencies, and we're able to instead have ODOT expend that money and effectively exchange it. ODOT's got to go through all those same federal hoops, if you will, when they do a project. So by them using that state money for us, if you will, they then turn around and give us what we would have gotten from the feds, and we're able to then use it for things like chip sealing and asphalt overlays without having all the federal red tape around it. And one other thing that's a worth note, typically the exchange rate is they give us back 94 cents on the dollar from what we would have gotten. So if the feds would have given us 100 directly, ODOT gives us 94 back, where we still come out way, 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 way ahead. Federalizing a project would probably drop that down to more like 60 cents on the dollar. I will point out that as of for the funds received starting next year, that exchange rate goes down to 90%. Still a good deal, but it has dropped a bit, and that was actually the subject of quite a bit of debate between AOC, the road program, and ODOT. The initial trajectory had that dropping down as low as, I think, 80 cents. Like 4 years out, but AOC was able to lobby for all the county road departments pretty well and hold that exchange to 90 cents on the dollar. So not quite as good as it was, but still a really good bang for our buck on that money.
Okay, any other questions? Commissioners? Herman, you got your hand up.
No, I'm fine.
Oops, that's my hand. I'm sorry.
I should note it's about $580,000 a year. So when we exchange it, it ends up being about 20 miles of chip seal.
Okay. Commissioner Fowler, well, trying to get a word in.
Yeah, this looks pretty housekeeping to me. And I apologize, Chair and Vice Chair, I gotta run. So thank you much.
You're on it, have a good day.
You.
Okay, anything, we're going to move this one to the WBS. Bob?
Sounds good.
And away we go. Thank you. Anything else from your department?
That's it. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Okay.
Chip seal is done, I guess, as I mentioned it. So just got the last one knocked out last Thursday and now restriping, but I think we're going to get her sweeped in.
Are chip seal tanks holding up after being refurbished last year?
Yep, worked like a champ this year. The only drag, honestly, was getting seal oil a couple times just because our vendors were having trouble finding truck drivers, as you would expect. So,
no.
Had a couple of pinch points, but got through it, and now we're painting and trying to get it done for the winter.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, moving on to item three, other business. Anything else that we need to come before the board, Herman?
No, no, I'm good.
Okay, under board matters for commissioners, you got anything?
Nope.
I'm going to put together a couple things, and I'll just put it together in a draft form, get it to all three commissioners on just some ideas, and you do the same thing for what we want to do with this 538, you know, for our rollout program, for vaccinations, and so on and so forth. What kind of advertising program you're looking for. I'm looking at, I talked to Dan Mancuso, the Illinois Valley News. He's going to get us a rate schedule for his paper. I'm going to reach out to a couple of other periodicals and locals and see what their rate schedule is going to be. We can spend some of that on that. I'm going to put together maybe four mailers and what those mailers would say. Mailers are fairly expensive. They're about $40,000. Crying out loud, boys, we've got $538,000 that we can use to inform the public of where they can get vaccines, so on and so forth. You know, not necessarily, we're not mandating, we're not suggesting one way or another. Our word is, you check with your doctor. There's nothing on the end of any disclaimers on medicine that says, go check with your county commissioner to see if you should take this medicine. So we're just gonna provide the history of what all Josephine County Board of County Commissioners has done so far since the outset of COVID. I think it's gonna be a pleasant surprise that we don't just sit here and do nothing. So I think there's just a lot of stuff we do on a day-to-day basis as commissioners that goes just goes without saying, goes without mentioning. But we do it on a day-to-day basis. So we're gonna get all that put together, kind of a public address thing through our Jason P. Roberts, our chief, I guess, what do you call that? Information officer, CIO. So anyway, we're going to put that together. I'd like your input on it as to what you think would be effective. And looking at the mobile vaccination clinics or maybe, you know, a schedule to run them through Wolf Creek. Maybe there's nothing. Maybe we don't have a vaccination point in Wolf Creek. I don't know. But I'm going to lean pretty heavily on Michael to get us that. And I have not set up a point, a time. I would like to talk to Wynn Howard because we had the doctors come in and ask us for help. And my phone hasn't rang yet with any suggestions as to what those are. We suggested a few things as far as, you know, trying to get those beds freed up in the hospital. And I've heard there is some movement by one of the rest homes, the nursing homes, to try to facilitate something along that line. I want to know if there's coordination between those Asante and the local private partnerships around here to see if they can get that hang up fixed, and they need to keep us in the loop if that can happen. All right, anything else, Herman? That's pretty well covered.
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody out there that's been sending us emails, I got a big stack again of them here. I've read them. I haven't responded to all of them because it's just a time issue. But I want everybody to know that I am reading them. It looks like about 50-50. People are happy what we're doing, and there are people that are unhappy what we're doing. So I just want everybody to know that these things do get looked at.
Thank you. Well, I echo that. I don't get as much time at this as I possibly should, but we're working at it. We're working at it. I talked to some really, really great folks out here. Not just on this, not just on the COVID issue, but on an awful lot of issues out there. And, you know, keep them coming. We appreciate it. With that, we will be adjourned at 9:35 a.m.
Recording stopped.